Hi, I'm Jason Wachob, founder and co-CEO of MindBodyGreen, and your host for the MindBodyGreen podcast, where I'll be bringing you deep and insightful dialogues with some of the greatest minds in wellness. If you like what you hear, please consider giving us a five-star review and comment. And don't forget to visit us at MindBodyGreen.com for your daily dose of wellness, and make sure to check out all of our great offerings, including our online classes and trainings. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Hi, everyone. Jason here. I'm excited to bring you our new series called Healing From Here. With all the deep social unrest that we're experiencing right now, there are so many questions we face as a community. Where does wellness go from here? How can we create real, meaningful, long-lasting change that ultimately builds a more inclusive community? How can we, as individuals, make our own contributions? How can we collectively heal? In this series, we'll be talking to minority leaders in the wellness world as we look to answer these very questions. We are all in this together. You, we, all. Lorea Gaston has had our hearts since she spoke at our 2018 Revitalize event about her incredible organization, Lunch on Me, which works to feed LA's homeless population with fresh organic product and meals. We then featured her in our short documentary film called Love Without Reason, which we released in 2019. And now she's back, making her second appearance on this podcast to discuss Black Lives Matter and what we can all do so we can collectively heal during this time of deep social unrest. Lorea is a spiritual force, and she inspires us all. Lorea, welcome. It's so good to see you. It's so good to hear you. I know you're on the front lines. We were just talking about that before we started, doing the work of the work, so to speak, that most people are not willing to do. You know, you're out there on Skid Row, you're feeding people, you're helping people. So it's good to see you.
It's nice to see you too. Thank you so much, Jason. You've already know you guys have a special place in my heart because you guys gave me my first platform for a voice. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. You are so sweet, and we are so grateful for you and everything you do. So one of the things I love about you, and there are lots to love about you, is literally, you know, you, your brand, what you stand for, and it's love without reason. So what does love without reason mean to you?
The first thing I think of when I think about the words love without reason, I think about the all-encompassing energy of the universe. I feel like love is vast and almost uncomprehendable, and yet it's sometimes simple and tangible. It is the love that has created this world. It's us presenting that same energy with no connection to outcome, but to be able to reap into the earth, into the gratitude of being created in the first place and having this experience. When I think of love, I think of that. I think of being so intentional and mindful with how we are presenting our energy to this world and how we are transmuting anything that is not of love. And I think that that's what it is. It's for the same meaning as life. I think love without reason is you comprehend that like we comprehend our existence. It's something we understand, and if we're lucky, we experience. But I don't know how much of it we can grasp fully other than sitting in it and living in it. And I think that's what love without reason is. It's about bringing energy and love and light to the world with no outcome outside of wanting to express our gratitude for existing and having this experience.
And so with so much anger and so much sadness out there, and rightfully so, how can we get to that place? How can we get to love without reason? You know, you shared on Instagram, you did a great post on Instagram. You know, you flipped the script and said, how do we make America love again? How do we get there?
I think one of the most important ways to figure out how to get back to love, how to return to love, is to start with being present enough to know where you are currently. You know, everyone is mourning in different ways. There are different levels and vibrations. You know, you do have anger, you have pain, you have remorse, you have regret, you have guilt. I think that we get there by first being so present where we are so that we can lay a roadmap to where we're going. So I think it starts with being present, knowing where you are, and also being mindful enough to know where you want to go. And I think wanting to go is saying, I feel this stuff, but how do I get to love? How does love become the end result? And I think it has to do with being so intentional with what we're presenting, what we're feeling, and how we are presenting our energy within those feelings. And for me, I understand, you know, the pain, the anger. I have been to all those places, but I've learned the only one that matters is love. I think it shares your story, and it creates dimensions to who we are, and everyone has a right to feel. So I think the most important part is, let's get to a place where we all feel first, right? Because if we are neutral, I don't know if we can get to love, because we have to feel something. So I believe wherever we are, whatever we are experiencing, as long as we decide to take the will and drive whatever that energy is towards love, we have the ability to transmute it. And I think that is what we need, is transmuting whatever energy we have into radical love. And radical love can be speaking up. Radical love can be marching. Radical love can be so many different things for so many different people. But we have to recognize any energy that is not of love has to be temporary. Because I think love has to be the fixed solution.
So anger is okay, but you just can't sit in anger forever.
Yes. Yes. I think we have to have a relationship with our emotions, because we are multifaceted. We are meant to experience the entire spectrum. You know, I think it's important. That's the idea. It's like, it can't be only love at all moments, because that's like having the sun. It takes away the value sometimes until you have that rain. So I think it's more of our homework. When we get to other places, we have to, it's almost like being set into one place and trying to find our GPS towards love. We can be dropped in different places, in different energy fields, in different spaces, because our experience of what we're experiencing triggers different parts of us. But I think the most important part, even down to the hate that's in this world, we just have to recognize that from there, we have to find our way back to love.
And so, what advice do you have for people listening? And, you know, if you're a listener of this podcast, you're a fan of Mind Body Green, I think odds are, you know, you're a good person and you want to make a difference. But at the same time, there are people who are, you know, not sure, how do I make a difference, you know, and they don't know where to start. And one of the things that Hill Harper said when we had him on the podcast last week, he said, whatever you do, you cannot do nothing. Like, doing nothing is not an answer. And he said, you know, you have to listen to your heart. You have to say, you know, ask yourselves the question, what speaks to me? What makes my heart sing? And that's the area we're going to jump in and contribute, because everyone must do something. And I'm curious, you know, from your point of view, what advice do you have for people who want to help, who want to take this moment and make it a shift?
Yes. The first thing I want to share with people, because it is new territory for so many, you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid to mess up. You can't be afraid to stumble, you know, because, you know, it's kind of like, if you don't try, you've already failed. So I think that we have to embrace. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. But it starts with movement, like Hill Harper said. It starts with trying. And my first suggestion, I always tell people, for me, it's always been prayer and meditation, because I try to sit back before I react. I try and sit back and check in with my heart and check in with my spirit and my energy field, because I don't want to contribute to the world in negative emotions when I can transmute that, ground myself, and then be way more helpful into the energy of the world if I first ground myself. And I think that's where we have to get to. A lot of this really is going within, seeing where we have done things right, wrong, or haven't done anything. I think we start with that accountability, and that accountability is a very intimate relationship with our own hearts. And I think if we start from there, then we can, once you're grounded, we make a lot more sound decisions. Once we're in a place where we're really looking at what's at hand, start with your heart. And I think it's checking in with our humanity. At the end of the day, what's going on, it's bigger than a black and white issue. It's bigger than the race card. We're talking about humanity, justice, and submission to one another out of love. So the issues that we're seeing is no one wants to submit. And that's the bigger issue, because nature, everything flows through submission because it's a mutual respect. And I think that's where we have to get to, so that we can make these changes. We can change things for the better, because this is a call for humanity. Mm. You know, it's just the tool that's being used is a racial divide. But the true test, I feel universally, is can we put everything aside to just figure out how we can better our walk from here on out? And it's going to be a lot of pain. It's going to be a lot of things that surface, but that's a part of growth. That's a part of releasing. The things that are happening are emotional purges. You know, James Baldwin says one of my favorite quotes, where he says, what cannot be faced cannot be fixed. And what is not face will never be fixed. Like, I do believe that. I believe that we have to face everything to fix it. And we can't be afraid of the facing part, because that gives way into how we change things. And right now we're all being forced to face things that all of us wanted to look away from, all of us collectively. Things boil over, and that's where we're at. So I think it's very important that these things happen, because I believe a new dawn is going to come. Rise from this, and we'll be so much better than the energy we hold in the street.
I love that. And I love, a lot of James Baldwin recently has come up, whether it's been on social media or just looking around. And I love his words. And I love what you said about, you know, having to look in places we want to turn away from. And I think that's the perfect segue to the work you do at Lunch on Me, and helping the very people that we tend to look away from.
Yeah.
And so can you talk a little bit about, you know, we've had you on the podcast before. We've had you at Revitalize. We did an incredible documentary about your work, and we're going to put all that in the show notes, because everyone needs to get much more familiar with all the incredible work you do. But, you know, talk a little bit about the work you do with the most disadvantaged of the disadvantaged, if you will.
Yes. Well, I will say one thing that is something I've always talked about when it comes to our homeless community. When you look at our homeless community, the majority of homeless people are Black and brown. And this is completely connected to our system. You know, African Americans only make up less than 13% of LA, yet in homelessness, they make up more than 50%. And I feel like when I serve, it's always felt like a painful history that I'm faced with. You know, I couldn't escape from racism, because seeing that level of poverty from descendants of slaves shows me every day. So I feel like in my walk, I've been looking where it hurts for so long that I had to do something about it. And I think that that's part of what's going on now. I think that I've been witnessing this. So I feel like I can help a lot of people navigate, because I know what it's like to look where it hurts. I've been doing this work for 15 years and I still cry like a baby. And I cry because I want things to change. I cry because those emotions boil over. And it is hard, because for a long time, people would look away. People would put blinders on and they would never want to see the suffering. And it's a privilege to watch it opposed to experience it. So even at the most advantaged space, people still look away. And so for me, I think that these moments that are happening are so important, because I know what happens when you get tired of the pain. You choose something else. We've been complacent in the pain. So now it's in our face. It's in our interactions. It's everything that we touch, we look at. And I think now this is a moment that we can tip over what's been already boiling over, so we can change things. And as hard as it is, and I tell you, Jason, I cry so much, but we all deserve something better. And better doesn't happen until we wake up. We can't fix what we won't see. And I think that we're so much better than this. As a collective, energetically, we're so much better than this. Because if we were unifying in love and in light, do you know the energy that we pour into the earth? We could be a field of gratitude. But we have to fix what we have not been willing to face. And even when I work with the homeless community, they cry out for love. They cry out to be seen. And I feel like being exposed to this for so long, I'm just ready for more people to show up. I don't want to be the only one or the only few. I want to see this energy permeate the world. And I think it's possible. And I think we're in such a tender time because we really have moments to turn this around. But we have to be willing to. Whew, sorry, I'm emotional, Jason.
All good. You know, I've been running around an office all day. You've been on the front lines on Skid Row feeding people all day. And, you know, helping people who no one wants to help and who don't have access to the things that, you know, a lot of people take for granted, whether that's organic food or yoga or energy work. You know, so
even love.
Love, yeah. The big one. You know, biggest one.
Because if people don't look at you, how can they love you? How do you get those moments of being acknowledged, you know? There's always these sayings people call, like, the homeless community, the invisible people, you know? They've kind of been pushed out of a society. And you have to think about that. We all want to be loved and acknowledged. And can you imagine what that does to your heart and spirit if no one even sees you? So it's a lot, and it's hard to look at, but they need that help. That's been the thing is, we've gone to the protests and then we're in Skid Row constantly, you know, because so many people don't have access to media. They don't have TVs. They're still reading out of newspapers. A lot of people experiencing homelessness don't even have smartphones. So they know something's going on. They know there's a collective movement, but they've been pushed out of society. So you don't see a lot of them there. You've seen where Skid Row's felt like a ghost town. Because less people are showing up, less resources. And I was saying that prior to even the riots, because we were saying this before the protests because of the COVID-19. So they've dealt with so many different things because people, you know, had pushed them away on another level. Everything that we experience, it's magnified in their experience. Mm. And so when, you know, their lack of love, resources, it's magnified. And it's been one of those things where, you know, certain areas of the world is crumbling, falling apart, falling together. And we're just trying to keep the foundation for people that shouldn't be forgotten. You know, there's still this demographic that shouldn't be forgotten. And that's been our focus, is making sure that everyone gets a chance. Everyone has a safe space. And I think that's the biggest thing, is we're all looking for safe places to go, to run, you know, a refuge. And we're trying to be that in every space that we occupy, especially for communities that we know are forgotten.
So how can we all help the homeless? You know, I remember one of the statistics, so many people out there on the streets came from the foster system.
Yeah.
And kids who turn into adults who really never had a shot, you know, never had love, never had parents, just never really had a shot. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, for people listening, you know, what do you want them to know about that issue? It's obviously a very complicated issue, but, you know, what are the things that we can do to help, whether, you know, whether it's with lunch on me and the great work you're doing, or maybe, you know, other helping the problem in other cities?
I think one of the things that would help a lot, because a lot of times we look at the magnitude of the problem and that's overwhelming and that can make anyone freeze and feel hopeless. I think what's really important is if we approach it, this is how I've approached helping our community. I've looked at our problems in a sense of a potluck. I always say that because I say if everyone brings a dish, we have a feast. It's doing small things with many people. And a lot of that has to do with us implementing social good into our culture. And like one of the things, I don't know if you know Tal that owns Den Meditation in LA, but Tal came in yesterday. She asked me, what do we need? And I asked her to get two things. We just needed water and sanitizer, hand sanitizer for the community. It's those small things. You know, I feel like we go to these grand gestures. We don't have to build Rome in a day. I think we have to just implement these things on a daily basis. And something as simple as she spent an hour, you know, running two yoga studios, meditation studios. She spent an hour to drop off hundreds of water bottles and hand sanitizers, like small ones, travel size. And that helps so much. That's just one person in one day. If we look at how many people are in each city, all of our problems get fixed if we're all contributing to this potluck. We're doing our part. We're finding out what are the needs. Something as simple as water. We don't think about them all the times because we live a privileged life. And it's safe to say a lot of us do, especially in our circles. But we all can do something. And it doesn't always have to be huge. We don't need to measure it in a grand gesture. We need to be consistent about it. And I think it's the small things that chip away at it. And water bottles, granola bars. Everyone I know has at least one or two granola bars in their bag. I do things very simple. Like I always have $5 bills. That's kind of my form of tidying. It's something so simple. I keep a couple $5 bills in my wallet, granola bars. And if you drive, a couple water bottles in the back of your car, just because you never know who you're going to encounter. And you might not be able to give them everything in that moment, but you can give them love, nurturance. Something as simple as I want to make sure that here's a granola bar, here's water. Who doesn't like to feel loved in that way? And it's a simple gesture that anyone could do. Connecting with nonprofits and finding out what are their simple today needs. Because if everyone's doing that today, we fix the problems on a grassroots level. Everything is about doing things simplistically. It doesn't have to be huge. No one can fix the problem by themselves, but they can fix their area in their corner of the world.
I love it. And so to close, to come full circle, look, this is going to be a process. We can all do better. And, you know, I go back to the big question is, you know, where do we go from here? How can we individually and collectively, you know, begin the healing process, and where do we go from here?
I think it's conversations just like this. We have to talk about these things. A lot of things we don't talk about as a society. We get quiet. I feel like a lot of times we're scared to talk because we don't want to ruffle feathers. I think we have to be okay with being vulnerable with each other and talking and exchanging ideas, exchanging hearts. It all starts with communication. Talk to our families. Have these important conversations. Because if we want to stop the pain and what's going on, it starts where it started, which is at home. All of us have to start there. We have to bring our community involved. We have to educate each other on experiences. We have to make friends of people that don't look like us, that don't sound like us, that come from different backgrounds, because that's how we expand our knowledge and our understanding. It's very important that we get out of our bubbles. It's very important that we have these uncomfortable conversations. And it's an act of vulnerability. It's a practice. This is part of love being a discipline. We have to practice being vulnerable and open. And if we have to cry, whatever we feel, I think it's beautiful seeing so much on social media. People are talking. People are lending their platforms for good. This is the first time that you're seeing it, and it's been bigger than just business and being relevant. it's been about right, wrong, and humanity. And if we can continue this momentum and don't let it be a moment, don't let it be fleeting, don't let it be trending, but it actually changes and we implement this in our lifestyle, it's kind of like healthy eating. It's kind of like dieting. You can't just do it every now and then. It's changing your lifestyle. Let this approach be a change of lifestyle. And that, I think, would change so much. But we start with our circles. We start with those conversations. We start with vulnerability. We start with listening and being submissive to one another. Because I think that's an act of love.
Amen. You can't be a moment. It needs to be a shift.
Yes.
Well, Larea, thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time. I loved everything you said. So
thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. I just feel like, you know, this is a tough time, but I do think that we can be better.
We can, and we need to be. And, you know, how do we make sure, I think, you know, the thing we want to really focus on, I think what's so critical is how do we make this not a moment and a shift, and what does it mean for our world? And I do think there's so many good people in the wellness world, but they just don't know what to do.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just want,
you know, think that it's exposure. Now, yeah. You know, you can't unlearn what you've learned.
Yep.
You know, a lot of it has to do with, like, people didn't know. It was a lack of knowledge. It was ignorance. It was just a deep lack of understanding. And I think this is a time where people are gathering information. And now, after everyone's gathered the information that they need to be more aware, now we implement applying it.
Yep.
Apply what you learned.
Yep.
Show up.
Yeah.
Show up differently. And I think that I see it. It's going to be so beautiful. Like, I feel so good about the light that's at the end of the tunnel. I really do.
Well, I do. I'm glad you're saying that. You make me feel better.
I do, because this is how it works. You got to go through hard times. You got to be uncomfortable. You got to be rattled at your core. Yeah. This is the only time we grow. Complacency doesn't grow us. It doesn't shift us. You know? So I think that this is important. I've seen more people feel than ever. I'd rather them feel too much than be numb.
I love that. Well, now we'll close there. That's the note we'll close on. Well, Larea, thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you.
I will see you soon, hopefully, and be able to give you a hug someday.
Yes, right? We're going to be scheduling hugs, everyone. Yes, hug your babies for me, your beautiful wife. Thank you guys so much. It's always a pleasure every time I talk to you guys.
Thank you. You are so sweet. And thank you, and be well, and God bless.
You too. Have a good one, Jason.